Today is Monday, June 13th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Before we get to our guests today, first a little weather for Cascadia. Our guests, what you're in for, James Vucinovic with Rossi Vucinovic, attorneys out of Seattle, who are representing Michael Elliott, a Union Pacific whistleblower. One thing that has been overlooked in the stampede to Mosia has been the fact that Union Pacific has a long and, no pun intended, egregious track record as far as safety concerns. And one reason is that they retaliate so harshly against whistleblowers. We began to speak about this a little bit on Friday, but I want to bring it home today. We're going to speak with an attorney representing whistleblower Michael Elliott in a case against Union Pacific. The list of violations of everything that OSHA has on the books, from minor violations, safety violations, to major, huge problems. I would say I'm trying to find this out, that the derailment in Mosia falls somewhere between the two poles of this spectrum, but nonetheless serious enough to cause what we saw it cause right here, close to home. We'll be speaking with James Vucinovic momentarily, but also fortunate to have Charlotte Nielsen. She is with the Coeur d'Alene Nation out of Idaho, and she was part of this amazing trip, 100-mile trip by canoe. The canoe is enormous. It's made from one huge log. The Coeur d'Alene people carved it, hollowed it out, carved it, and are now paddling it downriver from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So on that note, we go now to the weather. Today, showers and possibly thunderstorms, but later in the day, highs reaching around 65 and a southwest wind, 7 to 13. Again, could get a bit gusty, as it is wont to do, bringing thunderstorms with it. Tonight, a 50-50 chance of showers, overcast, and a low around 52 for tomorrow. Oh, the showers persist. And again, the possibility of a thunderstorm, highs near 62, and south-southwest winds 9 to 11. And by tomorrow night, you've already got all the rain gear out, so you'll be ready for the showers, the thunderstorms, and a low around 49. And that's it for the weather for Cascadia, for you living in Cascadia, feet planted here. We already know, because we cannot possibly avoid it, that in Orlando there was an incredible event beyond anything that the nation has previously experienced. And there are so many ironies in the shooting in Orlando. First up, the slack-jawed Tea Party right-wing Trumpers, of course, aren't too keen on alternative LGBTQ community. That's something that they have pretty much written out of their agenda and would probably like to write off the planet. And yet, at the same time, it's an act of violence against acts of domestic terrorism. So it leaves everybody on the back foot, and it'd be interesting to see how they play it from here. That said, we're going to be speaking now with James Vucinovic, and we're very pleased to...
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Well, the Department of U.S. Department of Labor, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, determined that the management of Union Pacific Railroad added insult to injury when it blamed a worker who was hurt on the job and then retaliated against. So Union Pacific and other railroads too, BNSF as well, have long and sordid records as far as safety, where But it comes with this derailment here in Moshe. How would you characterize what you've seen in these lawsuits against Union Pacific and others as far as safety is concerned?
Well, OSHA back in 2007, 2008, actually Congress passed what's called the Federal Railway Safety Act, or FRSA, and part of that legislation included this whistleblower protection. It was long overdue in the railroad industry because, unlike many of the other major industries in transportation, such as airlines, trucking, and so forth, they had many years, if not decades. The railroads had resisted that. Finally, that resistance was overcome in 2007, and so we are just now seeing the fruits of many of those cases that started to get filed. And this also reflects a longstanding, reality in the railroad industry, where they regularly were running over their employees as concerns filing personal injuries, notifying them of safety issues, and basically having their way. So this legislation and the cases that have flowed from it, is allowing the employee to actually push back and bring back the balance and level the playing field, if you will, when people have on-duty injuries or they report safety-related problems, that if they are retaliated against, they have some redress.
That said, then, have you? I tried to find out a bit about this. Have instances of safety violations being reported? To put it simply, is it getting better? Have we seen any positive results?
I mean, that's a great question, and I think one of the major reasons that this law was enacted was the recognition of the fact that railroads historically had underreported injuries, underreported safety issues. So this is shedding more light on that unsavory practice, that really unfair practice. I think the railroads have gotten safer. I think there's other reasons for that besides this law. But as the issue of retaliating against their own employees for making safety related complaints, it's hard for me to give statistical information, but anecdotally, I think in some ways that it is still business as usual. That's why you're seeing more and more of these verdicts.
And we see more and more of derailments, and we factoring that in with the local efforts on the part of various corporations to site, well, for one thing, that the terminal and the Port of Vancouver and Longview, trying to site these terminals, which would bring many, many such trains through the region. People are a little bit nervous about that, and with good reason, apparently. The Mosier incident might well have been avoided entirely had someone who'd seen it coming been able to speak up without fear of retaliation. So on that note, anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with before we let you go today? This is such an important issue, and I was so surprised and find very little on it, especially with what happened up in Moshe.
Well, I think the reality here is that the railroads have been around a long time, and they've largely kind of operated under the radar. Having done this work now for 30 years, representing injured railroad workers and their families, I've seen the effects of intimidation. I've seen the effects of corporations like the Union Pacific and the Burlington Northern Santa Fe reducing the number of laborers, the people that would be in charge of inspecting for rail safety and other equipment-related problems. I mean, they enjoy the short-term benefit of cutting back those labor costs, but then we are now seeing some of the effects of reduction in the inspection and safety-related functions that those folks did, and you have some of these bigger results. But it's an ongoing battle. I think on behalf of the individual workers, it's important to know that they do have rights. That if they do see something that is safety related, that they will be protected under these federal laws. But it's hard in the individual case to get the person to step up to the plate each time when their own job may be on the line. But this law is a good law. I think we're going to see some more benefits, not only on behalf of the individual parties, but safety overall would be my hope.
Thank you so much for that, James. We're really pleased to be able to speak with you today. Perhaps give a call later. I want to find out more about this, and perhaps have one of the plaintiffs on the show to talk about their experiences. But you've been at it for 30 years, so thank you so much for being with us. My guest has been James Vucinovich. He's a part of Rossi Vucinovich, attorneys out of Seattle, representing plaintiffs in cases where a railroad has retaliated at an employee simply for standing up and speaking out and on issues we've seen the results, we've seen what will happen, and we see too what could be in store for us should these trains be allowed to rumble through the region towards the coast. It's a frightening thought. This is what really we're talking about when we talk about oil trains rolling through Cascadia. We are trying to reach right now Charlotte Nielsen. She is with Hilo Hancock, the legislative director of the Coeur d'Alene Nation. The Coeur d'Alene people have been working on this canoe, which, again, this is a quandary for radio because it's difficult to actually express in words what the canoe looks like. It is exquisitely beautiful, and it is also exquisitely functional. It was being made from trees from this part of the world, float on waters in this part of the world. It's a prime example of the differences between the way the white peoples view nature and the environment as mainly a source to be extracted from it. Like, take as much as possible and do as many things possible with it, and jack up the price as high as possible, sell it to as many customers as possible. It's a very different way if you are living in your world in a way that you provide the world with something, and the world provides you with what you need, and you are one continuum, an unbroken chain of life that binds you to your environment in ways great and small, in ways practical. A boat is a boat. It takes you from one place to another. You fish from boats. So much. It's a practical thing to make, and yet it's also a thing of very great beauty. It's a thing of utility, and it also expresses the spiritual life of a people. So this is a very different way of living with one's habitat from what we ourselves are accustomed to. Learning from the Coeur d'Alene's adventure is something that we all might well have a look at. They've set out now on a 100-mile journey down the river from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And we will be trying to keep up with them along the way. This is just the first step. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, June 13th, 2016. Engineering for us today is Natasha. Thanks, Natasha. Catherine Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This KABU program is made possible in part and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. It's located at 2435 Southwest